Today, the gas long con continues for now, but at what cost? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, Australia's economic woes can be attributed to poor government on things like housing, tax non-reform, migration, and many other factors. But the mother of all problems is the cost of energy. I find it amazing that despite swimming in gas being sucked from the ground by several large multinational companies, who, by the way, apparently pay no tax, they sell the LNG on global markets at peak price, and Australians end up paying high prices, and worse, it translates to the high marginal cost of electricity too. Recall that this week we saw more price rises announced for the East Coast states, just as the government cost of living support is rolling off, which shows that there was a long con in play through the election. But this con goes back decades and is still in play now. This week, we heard that the Albanese government has stared down pressure from environmentalists to extend the life of Woodside's massive North West Shelf project, subject to environmental conditions, sparking outrage from environmental groups and garnering praise from the industry. The decision marks the end of a more than six-year state and federal government appeals process, with Woodside given little more than a week to agree to the conditions. It was dressed up as a key fuel in Australia's energy transition. Our view is renewables backed by gas, backed by batteries and backed by hydro is the way forward for Australia, Albo said in Brisbane this week. It's worth remembering that there is no pipeline between the east and west coasts, and while there are reservation arrangements in the west to help keep local prices down, none exist on the east coast, where energy prices are eye-watering and industries are shuttering as a result, even as households struggle with rising living costs too. Environment Minister Murray Watt's decision came just hours after UNESCO flagged that it would knock back an Australian bid for the Burrup Peninsula to be World Heritage listed due to concerns of the impact that industry, including the North West Shelf project, was inflicting on nearby Indigenous rock art. Meanwhile, the Victorian Allan Labor government has cleared the way for building a gas import terminal in Victoria as state and federal energy ministers prepare to grant the market operator the power to underwrite support for new gas supply in July. The environmental approval for Viva Energy's proposed liquefied natural gas import terminal in Geelong follows years of debate over the role of gas in the state, where dwindling supplies and pipeline capacity constraints have left it on the precipice of winter shortages. The Victorian government said its decision on Thursday to waive through environmental approval of Viva's project would increase competition among the gas suppliers vying for underwriting support should the Ministerial Council approve the plan. Viva's proposal involves an extension of the Geelong refinery's jetty, a permanently moored floating regasification unit, and a 7-kilometre pipeline connecting it to Victoria's gas grid. The government said the terminal could supply enough to meet about 88% of the state's gas needs. Energy Minister Lily D'Ambrosio acknowledged Victorian energy prices were too high. Gas is part of our energy transition, but supply is dwindling and prices are going up, she said. That's why we're securing gas supply and helping families and businesses that can go electric to slash their energy bills, freeing up gas supply for industrials that can't make the switch. Regulators have been forecasting supply shortfalls in Victoria for several years as dwindling local supplies and storage and capacity constraints from major gas hubs in the north risk the state running out of gas during winter demand peaks. This project is one of four that's been proposed across Australia's southeastern states, including Squadron Energy's Port Kembla project and Vulpac's Victorian Energy Terminal in Port Phillip Bay. Squadron's facility is the most advanced project, although it announced this week that it would not begin operation until at least 2027. Let's be clear here, the logic is confounding. Rather than reserve gas for local use, we plan to import gas from international markets. At what price, you might ask? Now, I've been highlighting the stupidity of the current arrangements thanks to years of policy failure. In the early 2000s, the federal Labor government made the disastrous decision to allow the export of liquefied natural gas, LNG, from Queensland without forcing gas companies to first supply Australians. Gary Gray, the then federal resources minister under the Gillard-Rudd Labor governments, argued that domestic gas reserve policies created uncertainty and would discourage investment, pitting the government against Australia's ailing manufacturing sector, which was yearning for cheaper gas. The Australian government does not agree that domestic gas reservation would keep gas prices down or put more gas in the market, Gray said in his opening address to the Australian Petroleum Production and Exploration Association conference back in Brisbane on the 27th of May 2013. In our view, it would create uncertainty and deter investment in new gas supply. Gary Gray, by the way, reiterated his opposition to East Coast domestic gas reservations in July 2013. Let me be very clear, reservation policy could not lead to lower gas prices or more gas, Gray said. Calls for intervention in the market only serve to dampen any appetite for the very investment that's needed to bring on new gas supplies. We must allow our markets to respond as they are intended to do. Talk about neoliberalism. Federal Labor's anti-reservation stance positioned them against the Western Australian Premier, Colin Barnett at the time, whose state government operates a domestic reservation plan that requires major offshore gas projects to reserve some of their gas for the domestic market. As a result, the Chevron-led Gorgon and Wheatstone projects are building domestic gas plants in conjunction with the bigger and more lucrative LNG operations, while Woodside Petroleum is under pressure to build a domestic operation alongside its Pluto LNG plant near Karratha, as reported in the Western Australian in May 2013. Local manufacturers led by Alcoa have been instrumental in driving the Western Australian government to implement the domestic gas policy as a way of trying to ensure lower gas prices, and a similar push is underway in Eastern Australia. Of course, the rest is history. The Gladstone LNG export terminal went online, and East Coast Australia now exports almost three quarters of its gas. Gary Gray, by the way, retired from politics in 2016 and took a role as General Manager of External Affairs for Mineral Resources, that's a Western Australian mining resources company, and before his federal political career, Gray had worked as an advisor for Woodside Petroleum. So you can see which side of the fence he's aligned to. While East Coast gas output has doubled since East Coast gas exports commenced, 25% less gas is delivered to the domestic market. The resulting domestic shortage roughly tripled East Coast gas prices. The tripling of gas prices has also driven up electricity prices, given gas's key role in firming and as a marginal price setter for the wholesale electricity market. Despite being a major supplier of LNG, East Coast Australia faces the horrifying prospect of having to import gas. Importing LNG would result in even higher gas and electricity rates, since the East Coast gas price would rise to import parity levels, meaning it would be the export prices plus liquefaction, transportation and regasification. You can't make this stuff up. To its credit, the Turnbull Coalition government established the Australian Domestic Gas Security Mechanism, the ADGSM, back in 2017 to give the federal government the authority to enforce reservation in the East Coast gas market. But when Russia attacked Ukraine, the Albanese government declined to invoke the ADGSM, causing East Coast gas and electricity costs to skyrocket. To exacerbate the situation, the Morrison government completed a gas reservation options paper shortly before the 2022 federal election, but the newly elected Albanese government prohibited its public release, citing concerns that it might upset Asian consumers of Australian gas. The Federal Department of Industry, Science and Resources, now the DCCEEW, claimed that gas reservation acts as a tax on gas production, paid as a subsidy to domestic gas users, as if Australians were their top priority. How does that work? Fast forward to 2025, and the coalition during the federal election campaign vowed to introduce an East Coast gas reservation policy, if elected, that would deliver $10 per gigajoule gas by compelling uncontracted or spot gas to be diverted into the domestic market. The coalition's policy would have eliminated the need to import LNG. Shell Australia chair Cecily Wake reluctantly conceded that the coalition's gas reservation policy would have reduced gas costs for consumers. According to Wake, the policy would potentially push more supply into the market than there is actual demand, and when that happens, it has the effect of potentially driving prices even lower than the $10 a gigajoule target. Now, if that isn't a strong endorsement of the coalition's reservation policy, I don't know what it is. And the coalition, by the way, also pledged to invest $1 billion in a critical gas infrastructure fund to expand gas pipeline and storage capacity. Extra pipeline capacity and storage are indeed required to ensure gas flows to Victoria during the peak winter months when the North-South pipeline is at capacity. Federal Resources Minister Madeleine King dismissed the coalition's gas reservation policy at the time as a, quote, thought bubble. Now, Labour obviously won the federal election and jettisoned the coalition's gas reservation policy. As a result, the East Coast may soon have to begin importing LNG at an import parity cost of, I think, around $20 a gigajoule, double what the coalition promised. The increase will also drive electricity prices even higher than we're seeing now. And interestingly, the Queensland state government on Wednesday announced the opening up of 9 new areas for gas exploration across the Cooper, Eromanga and Bowen Surat basins to boost future supply. The government asserted that the initiatives aim to unlock supply and stimulate new gas investment, thereby lowering energy prices. The best way to bring down energy prices is to have more energy in the market. And that starts with exploration, Minister of Natural Resources and Mines Dale Last said. These steps are about unlocking new supply, securing an investment pipeline and getting the right policy settings in place so Queensland can lead the way on energy security. Unscientific decisions made by the southern states have left Queensland carrying the load for the East Coast gas market. We need a regulatory framework that supports new development instead of holding it back, Dale said. The decision to expand gas exploration was cheered by Australian Energy Producers Chief Executive Samantha McCulloch. We particularly welcome the announcement that tenders for 9 parcels of land for gas and petroleum exploration are now open, a critical step in securing the future gas supply Australian households and industry will need, McCulloch said. Queensland is already doing the heavy lifting to keep the lights on and to ensure reliable gas supply along the east coast of Australia. But, unsurprisingly, there was no mention of any reservation of gas for Australians. And the gas cartel, of course, has all the cards, and so Australians will continue to pay at full price. Indeed, if LNG imports do commence, east coast gas prices will likely rise to the import parity price, which is around $20 a gigajoule. In turn, electricity prices will also soar, given gas's key role in firming and as a marginal price setter in the wholesale market. So while the opening of new gas projects in Queensland will ultimately see royalty revenues rise, it won't benefit domestic energy users unless a significant proportion is reserved for the domestic market. Domestic reservation is vital to guarantee supply, to avoid energy imports and lower gas and electricity prices. However, perhaps there is a glimmer of hope for policy changes from the Albanese government because the AFR reported today that the Albanese government is likely to consider developing an East Coast gas reservation as part of a sweeping review of the country's energy system. Energy industry sources speaking on the conditions of anonymity said the sector was preparing for the federal government to begin investigating the viability of a reservation amid escalating concerns of an East Coast gas shortage. Resources Minister Madeleine King this week put the energy industry on notice, saying that it was unfair Australians were paying high prices for gas while the nation's supply was exported. Well, she's right on that. Better late than never, I suppose. She flagged the government would soon embark on a review of Australia's gas market frameworks. A spokesman for King told the Australian Financial Review on Thursday that the government's review would include the role of market bodies to ensure more gas is made available for Australians. Queensland and Western Australia are our two big gas exporters, and they both have state-based gas reservation schemes, the spokesman said. Australia has a suite of mechanisms that ensures Australian homes and businesses have enough gas for heating, cooking and manufacturing. The spokesman said that the government had inherited a policy mess from the coalition, but was actively working to ensure more gas supplies for Australia. Gas producers had claimed the policy could deter investment and do little to increase the supply for years. Labour needs only to copy the Dutton plan, of course, which was excellent. It used floating export levies to ensure a 10% surplus was always in place for local gas. It operated entirely from spot gas, so it did not affect existing export contracts. And if it were to sink the gas price to, let's say, $9 a gigajoule, the difference versus LNG imports would be huge for electricity and inflation. And as David Llewellyn Smith over at Macro Business wrote, this is a no-brainer huge win for the government. As energy wars ease, the energy transition stabilizes, household disposable income jumps, industry stops dying, and productivity gets a kickstart. Then the global supply wave cometh, and with reservation in place, the full force of falling global prices can be enjoyed locally. Just do it. As Rex Patrick tweeted, nothing highlights how broken our gas policies are more than a massive gas export project approved one day and a gas import terminal project approved the next. It's a massive government fail, further entrenching high energy costs for Australians and big profits for the cartel. However, I suspect the gas industry will strike back, and the whole process of the review of Australia's gas market frameworks will take forever. Meantime, more businesses will fold thanks to high energy costs, and households will continue to spend more than ever on keeping warm or keeping cool. Frankly, there is no accountability for those who sold Australia down the river in an attempt to keep the gas cartel happy. No wonder then net investment in Australia is about a third of what it was back in the 1970s, simply highlighting lagging productivity and a sick economy. I think you can sheet this back directly to failed energy policy and the energy long con. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.